Hey gang, we're back with This Week in Watch Line. You're listening to Iggy Pop. This is a film, and it's actually about fish, right? Your own. You picked this as your pick.
Yeah, there is a fish mentioned at the end of the song, and it's a... If anybody wants to listen to the whole song, I don't want to ruin the surprise. But when I was going to Alaska my first time, a friend of mine made me a mixtape to listen to, and this was one of the songs. And I didn't get to listen to it the whole summer because I was so busy.
Yeah.
And then after the summer, I was listening to this song after working with fish 20 hours a day for 3 months straight. And I'm obviously exaggerating the 20 hours, but long, long days, long weeks. And when this song came up and the ending came around, I almost died laughing. So, great song. Highly recommend.
Yeah, that's good. I like a lot of Iggy Pop, but... Yeah, you know, it's funny because I just thought of another really bizarre song by Van Morrison. It's from one of his later albums. And it was called In the Days Before Rock and Roll. And it was like this kind of like lost innocence or childhood. And like... It's almost like the chorus line, but he doesn't sing it, but he keeps saying, "They let the goldfish go," and it's just bizarre. It's such a weird.
Like, that sounds sad.
It's sad, but it's kind of like the melody is more of a little bit more kind of happier. It's worth a listen. It's a pretty bizarre song, but I
was just picturing a goldfish going down a toilet, but maybe they let it go.
No, I think they meant it like, yeah, because that's what it was. So it was just about like, it was about because these kids were growing up and that's what it was. Yeah, so it's kind of a happy thing. But, but I remember I used to manage this Irish pub in Chicago where you guys met, and closing time was always tough getting people out. We'd have closing songs so people would get the idea, but these two doormen just started going around, and you knew who the doormen were because they wore aprons around their waist. And they just started chanting, "Just let the goldfish go." And I had no idea what they were saying in it. I think it kind of creeped people out, so they left. But it was a line from that song. And it was just about, you know, like I said, growing up and moving on. And I think that's kind of their little subtle hint to these guys.
That's a good tactic to get people out.
Very interesting.
Yes. But I digress. Let's talk Alaska fresh salmon and fish and seafood. And so... I have to say, and I love our farmers market, but I know you guys had applied and that you were turned down, correct?
Yes, because we don't have a Wisconsin product. So there's a big push within the Alaskan seafood retailer community and other coastal seafood retailers to really rethink of this idea as local. The FDA defines local as something produced within 400 miles, but all of the fish that comes out of Alaska and other coastal communities, it can't all be consumed by everyone in Alaska. There's such a bigger market out there. So what we're trying to advocate for is, you know, what's healthy protein, what's wild food.
It's produced by local artisans.
Yeah, exactly.
It doesn't come here, you know, in the can from Chicken of the Sea or like one of the bigger names, one of the bigger like brands like Kraft or Gordon's or ain't nothing against them. Those are good product, but it's not what you guys are bringing to the table.
Yeah, the fish is filleted by hand. It's caught by hand. Each fish is bled by hand. You know, these are fishermen that are going out there, not on big ocean trawlers, which comb the bottom of the ocean floor and take up everything in its path. It's one person on a boat picking each fish out of one net. So also like keeping in mind the artisanal production processes that come along with the food.
Goes through very few hands, I bet, right?
Mm-hmm.
So,
and also Alaska is kind of a poster child for sustainable fisheries. The way the fishing is regulated there could really be a great example for other areas where, I mean, you know, everybody has their issues, but Alaska has really been very good and very strict, and regulations are surprisingly followed over there, and it's been working.
Sure.
And you had asked about, you know, if we would consider selling salmon from Lake Michigan, and something that I just thought of is that now, you know, there's only a handful of commercial fisheries left on the Lake Michigan coast.
Really?
Because they've collapsed due to, factories came in and workers went away from those jobs.
St. Lawrence Seaway.
Yeah, the water quality has declined. So, you know, even if people did want to eat local salmon, there's not enough of that to go around. So sure. as our food systems change, we also need to rethink what local really means.
In your professional opinion, is there hope for the Great Lakes that we may, not just salmon, but maybe other quality species that we may be able to, there may be an abundance of those again?
I certainly think so. As long as the EPA still gets robust funding and we still, you know, Milwaukee has a great infrastructure with programs to improve water quality. Sure. And we do have some Superfund sites around the Great Lakes, meaning that there is cleanup that is needed, and so there is government funding coming in. I think as long as that infrastructure is built up and as people continue to become more educated about it and as the awareness grows, I think there's definitely hope.
Great. Yeah, because, you know, the other thing too is, you know, fun little fact is that our inland bodies of water represent less than 2% of the Earth's surface, yet 51% of the world's species come from these inland bodies of water. Is there opportunity for economic development for, you know, some of these local economies here, especially when you get maybe in some of the more impoverished areas or maybe in our First Nations, as well as, you know, career opportunities to go along with them?
I think so. Yeah, I think it's a matter of young people being exposed to the practices and people just taking back the land and taking back the practices from big agriculture or big aquaculture and learning the trade and learning how to do that.
Sure. And that might be a challenge a little bit because commercial fishing, that's not a glamorous job.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's not like you're sitting in the office and you're getting paid a lot of money. You can still be very successful. You can still be very successful when you're a commercial fisherman, but you work very hard to make that happen. It's an actual, you really have to apply yourself. And a lot of the fishermen up there, by up there I mean in Alaska, it's a second, third generation.
Right.
They learned the trade from their ancestors, from their fathers. People still do come from the lower 48 to do it, but it's kind of something that's inherited.
And that includes fisherwomen too, correct?
Fisherwomen as well. Yes. So that's a big debate on this naming convention. Yeah. Fisher folk, fisher people.
Sure. Yeah.
Fishermen, fisherwomen.
But I do know some women that they're fine with being called fishermen. They're the whole. They're, but the idea that there's more, it seems there's more opportunities. I know some women professionals. I know on the aquaculture side, as well as on the wild catch side, that want to promote more opportunities for women and for diverse groups. And so, and I think there's a real opportunity when you consider, especially with you guys in Alaska and, you know, with the oceans at, there's just so many opportunities to address food insecurity around the world, as well as some more sustainable solutions. And so again, that's why we're glad to have a Milwaukee based company, an entrepreneurial venture, a mom and pop shop that's bringing in, again, the best salmon in the world, you know, right here in, Cream City. So I take my hat off to you. So
I'm, absolutely.
What are some of the kind of the things you want to leave with our audience here, especially in Waukesha, about your company and about, you know, having more of a blue diet, if you will?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the ideal amount of fish. I just spoke with Dr. Whitcomb out of Brookfield, who's a longevity expert, and he said that we're experiencing, as humans, salmon deficit disorder, and I will widen that to seafood deficit disorder. We're not getting enough omega-3 fatty acids, and so as much as people can incorporate fish into their diet, it's super important. You can find us at alaskafreshsalmon.com, and you can also find us on social media at Alaska Fresh Salmon. And I think one of the most important things I would like to leave off with is just know your source. Like, don't be afraid to ask your server or your butcher or wherever you're getting your fish. You know your source.
Sure. Hey, we do have more time with my friends, the Kusnerovas. And be happy to take a drug test, too. I'm clean. I'm sober as a judge. But, hey, lots more to talk about in our final segment. This Week in Waukesha continues, and all laughs directed at me, your host, Don.